Så, välkommen till Ramsjö fredag. Jag är jättetaggad för det här, för att jag pratade med Jonathan Rollins. Välkommen förresten, Jonathan nice. Rollins.
Appreciate it.
Det är jag som ska tacka. Det här kommer bli jätteroligt. För du sa för ett tag sedan att du kunde komma in och bara prata om din familj.
Yeah.
För den är fascinerande. den är fylld av karaktärer.
Yes.
Och jag sa kanon, toppen. Det här är jättebra. Och sen så började jag rita upp släktträd för att få lite mer så här koll på vad som, alltså, hur det ser ut och vilka som är med. Och sen sa du att vi kan ringa min mamma i Florida.
Yeah.
Och då blev jag jätteglad.
She lives in Maryland.
Oh, she lives in Maryland. Okej. Okay. Yeah. Jag förstår.
My sister lives in Maryland. My mom moved up there with her.
Ah, so, jag förstår.
That's why we had to do both when we went home. That's what sucks. When I go to Miami, I want to see everybody, but then I have to go to see my mom in Maryland.
Ah. Yeah. Finns det inte någon, borde man inte kunna göra någon typ av mellanlandning i...
They're going to do it next time. They're just going to come to Florida. Everybody else is down there.
Ja, jag förstår.
But my sister went to college up there and stayed there after she graduated and all of that.
Ah, jag fattar.
Yeah, so my mom retired. She's like a nanny for them.
Bor hon i Washington, din syster?
Just, now she's outside of Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay.
She was outside of D.C. before. That's why last time I went home, I went to D.C.
Jag åt lunch i Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Det är allt jag sett av Baltimore. Vi lämnade New York med bil på tidigt på morgonen. Så åkte vi till Baltimore, åt lunch och sen åkte vi vidare.
Is that this? No? You hear that buzz?
Jag hör ett buzz. Men det är nog, jag tror att det är telefonsignalen. Ja. Yeah. Nej, det är allt jag sett av Baltimore. En 2 timmar har jag varit där.
Oh, wow. It's a cool city. It's a cool city. It's not Miami or New York or nothing, but it's cool.
Jag tyckte det var, jag fick en bra känsla av Baltimore.
Working man.
Ja, verkligen. Yeah. Så jag har varit i Delaware också.
Oh, yeah, that's another.
Har du varit i Delaware?
Yeah. I lived in South Jersey for a little bit.
So, oh, okay.
It's right there, Delaware.
Ja, just det. Det är trevligt.
I left from Delaware to go. When I came here, I tried to move here in 06.
Mm-hmm.
My flight, $1 flight from the Delaware military base to Spain. And then I did a Euro trip, and that last stop was Sweden.
Ah.
And then that was cool. To Spain, I was military, so I just get on. It's not comfortable. It's a C-5.
Okay.
Look that up. It's a huge plane.
Uh-huh.
That's a cargo plane.
Uh-huh.
So I flew with cargo. And it's not, you have to wear earplugs and all that, because it's like not...
Jag har gjort det, jag har flygit Hercules,
C-130. C-130, yeah. That's how I went into Iraq, yeah.
It's loud.
Yeah. With your back, you got to sit with your, I don't know how you sat, but sit with your back to the side of the plane.
I slept on a big pile of gear.
Oh, wow. Damn. I was actually harnessed in.
Yeah.
With a bunch of other troops.
So. No, I was kind of harnessed in too, but I was on top of gear.
Oh, wow.
it was like I was gear.
Damn. That's when shit got real for me when I deployed. Because I was on the C-130 and they were like, yeah, we're gonna do a lights out landing where we turn all the lights out on the aircraft.
Also for Eva, eller?
No, so that if in case someone has RPGs from the ground, they can't shoot us down.
Oh.
I was like, what? Mm. So then they did special maneuvers to land, like a tactical landing.
Oh.
Where they don't just land straight in. They make it harder to be shot down. I was like, oh, I'm at war.
Ja, okay. Det här är på riktigt nu. Jag kan exactly. Faktiskt dö på riktigt.
I thought I was going to play chess.
Jag hade ingen aning.
Go step my chess game up. Go to the gym more? No. You're in fucking war.
Jag var i Bosnien och då när de landade så var det av någon anledning så fort de kom in för landning så skjuter ut flares.
Mm-hmm.
Det är någon typ av automatisk... De har skjutit ut flares automatiskt som försvars liksom defensive measure.
Wow. So,
but they didn't know de visste inte varför den gjorde det. Den bara kom ner och sen bara helt plötsligt ner mot landningsbanan i Bosnien så bara skjuter den ut flares.
Damn.
Och alla bara, vad fan? Så här. Vi bara, ingen aning.
All right.
Okej. Okay. bättre idé än kanske inte alls då.
Yeah.
Men vi ska prata om din familj.
Yeah. Var
ska vi börja någonstans? Ska vi rita upp i grovt liksom hur familjen ser ut, eller hur tycker du vi ska göra det här?
I was thinking first I'll go through this little tree that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can like just drop some stories and you can ask questions and then I can.
Absolut.
Go
from there. Så vi drar upp det snabbt bara. Sen kan jag lägga upp den här. Är du okej om jag lägger upp den? Liksom,
yeah, bild, jag tar
ett foto
over.
Bara
okay.
På bilden och så bara så står det.
Maybe I draw it better.
Okay.
But yeah, first I wanted to start with the matriarch,
mm-hmm.
Booster, the one I talk about in my stand up, my great grandmother.
Just it.
Booster and Granddaddy Zach. Granddaddy Zach died before I was born. Of lung cancer or throat cancer, something like that. I know he had the voice box. I wish I could have met him.
Ah.
Because I would have loved to hear somebody talk. I never heard it. But he always had that. And my mom tells some story. We could talk to her about that. Booster. And then Booster had four kids, my great uncles and aunts, or great aunt, my grandmother and my great uncles. So my grandmother, Gussie, who came here, I tell some stories about her. I'm really close to her, my mother's mother. There's an episode on my podcast with her.
Oh,
where she tells the story of how she shot the guy that was trying to rob her. Killed him. She killed a man. She talks about the weight of killing a man and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, almost to listen up with that.
Yeah, listen, Power Meter podcast. Gangsta Gussie, I call her.
Okay,
she always had a gun on her.
Oh,
yeah. We used to scare people, like that was our little thing as kids, try to run up and scare people. But everybody said, do not scare grandmother. I call her grandmother. And my mom was like, do not scare grandmother, because she always has her hand on her gun, on her trigger, and she's paranoid. She'd been robbed and shit. She would shoot you. And
she's
PTSD. So she, and when she finally killed that dude, or when she killed that dude to try to rob her, I was like, never again. Uncle Willie. Is her brother. He's in a soul group. I want to find his music.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in a soul group called Soul Brothers.
Vilken era ungefär?
Had to be the 50s, 60s.
50s, 60s.
So it's probably like doo-wop soul.
Oh, wow.
I heard he has a beautiful voice. I never heard him really sing.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw him when he's older. I mean, he's still alive, but he was older when I knew him. Uncle Pap, I've talked about him on Encore.
Absolute.
With who was an AIDS carrier. And then Uncle Riley, that's all the kids from Booster and Granddaddy Zach. Okay. Everybody could follow.
So the fyra, det är Gussie, Willie, Uncle Pap, och Riley.
Yeah.
Och det är de fyra barnen.
Right, and Uncle Riley is the one. I need my mom to talk about him. He died before I was born, but he apparently was running Fort Lauderdale. Like, was like a scary figure in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh.
And he was racing cars. He had a construction business. Construction business always means you're in some shady shit, you know?
Yes.
So,
och det är över hela världen. Det är,
det är
universellt. Är man i byggbranschen och det går jättebra, då har man förmodligen gjort någonting som inte är helt okej.
Okay. Exactly. There's some people in that concrete.
Ja, visst. Och bara här i Stockholm, Nya Karolinska, det är lite...
Watch out.
Ja, det är någonting där som inte stämmer.
So then the next generation is my mom's generation. So it's my mom... My Uncle Monk, who's also on the Power Meeting podcast episode, where he's like a father figure to me. Then there's Renee, who's I'm close with her, and it's my aunt, maternal aunt, and Reggie.
Okay.
He's the one who I talked about on here when they went to trial for him.
Used to.
My mother pretended she was Jamaican.
Used to.
So there's that, and then their kids is my generation. Uncle Pap has two girls, Lisa and Jody, and a boy, Patrick. He's not alive anymore. He got stabbed by his girlfriend.
Okay.
And ran outside and bled to death. He was a race car driver. Really cool guy, man. Somebody, he had lost teeth in an accident, so he had these big gold teeth in the front. But, yeah, he's no longer with us. Jody.
När hände det?
A few years ago.
Uh-huh, okay.
Maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom could probably clarify that. But I think about 10 years ago. When Patrick got killed, it says his girlfriend was crazy. They said if he wouldn't have pulled the knife out of his neck, he would have survived.
Ah, used
but
to.
But he instinctively pulled it out, and he bled to death.
Yeah.
Uncle Riley has two daughters. Pam, I'm sorry, I did that wrong. Uncle Riley has one daughter, Pam, that I know of. Pam, has been in jail my entire life. Like, as far as she's in and out of jail, the only time I've never met her. I don't know what she looks like, but she used to call us, collect from prison, just to talk to us. And my mom never accepts the call. And
how much it cost her?
Like maybe a dollar a minute, some shit like that. I don't know. But my mom told us, like, do not accept phone calls from Pam. And Pam, obviously she's lonely. She doesn't want to talk to somebody. So when she calls, it says, you have a collect call from, and then you say your name. But instead of just saying her name, she will plead.
Please pick up the phone.
Exactly. So it'd be like, you have a collect. This is a Sprint with a collect call from Pam. This Pam, please answer the phone. Just accept this one. If you'd like to accept the call, press one. And I just be like, damn, I really want to. I feel so bad for her. And then I wish she could hear me. She can't even hear me.
No.
Because I just want to say, sorry, Pam, mom won't let me. And then hang up the phone. But I couldn't do it. So that's Pam. And then Pam has a daughter named Tamika. I have to check with my mom. Pam's daughter is Tamika. And Tamika's raised by Uncle Willie.
Uh-huh, okay.
Because Pam's always in fucking jail.
Ah, jag förstår. Så då blir det alltså hennes morbror då?
Farbror. Oh, yeah, no. Second generation, so it's...
Oh, okay.
Morfars bror. I don't know. Her paternal... It's her uncle.
But aren't these Willie and...
They're brothers.
Riley are brothers.
Pam is Riley's daughter.
Oh, that's three generations. Okay, so it's like a great uncle.
Yeah, it's her great uncle.
Okay.
No, it's it's her great uncle.
Morfars bror blir det.
Right.
Morfars bror.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, for sure.
So Tamika was raised by Uncle Willie.
Willie is old songer.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. He has another daughter. I've met her once. My mom finds family. My mom does that shit. So. She hunted this lady down. She's like the family historian, my mother.
Ah.
And she puts together reunions and stuff like that. And she found Uncle Willie's daughter, who I only met at a family reunion. So I don't know. I know everybody was like weirded out because she came with her female roommate to the family reunion. Can't even say that that's her girlfriend. You know what I mean? That's what's fucked up.
Oh.
Alabama, man. And then Jody, another fun fact. Uncle Pap's daughter, Jody, married... my dad's brother. My father's from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
His whole family's in Chicago.
Okay.
And my sister, like, hooked them up. Like, Jody was like, you know, I haven't met, you know, I'm getting older. Men ain't shit, you know, type of thing. And then my sister was like, well, my uncle's a good guy. And introduced them to each other. And they, like, chatted and stuff. And then she came to visit and started bouncing back and forth visiting. And now my mom's cousin, Jody, is married to my mom's, you know, ex-brother-in-law.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a little fun fact.
Oh, cool.
Richard, so.
Allting går bra där?
It's all good, yeah. Huh? They're in Chicago, yeah. My dad's family, that's another thing. I don't know them that well, but, yeah, it's they're kind of...
Du växte inte upp med din pappa?
Nah. At the beginning, and he was out when I was, like, 9.
Okay.
And then in and out, you know, kind of thing. I don't have a relationship with him anymore.
Men du har halvsyskon och så, eller? Har du en ny familj?
I have a half brother that was born a woman. So I have a...
Okay, and ytterligare en story.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I met my sister. I had a big sister, and I was like, oh, she's cool, you know? And then my dad was trying to fuck her mom still while he was with my mom, and that kind of messed things up. So then my parents split up. Or he was fucking her mom. We were like staying over, my dad's in the other room smashing my sister's mother and stuff. At the time as a kid, I thought it was cool because my sister had all these video games and stuff.
Uh-huh.
My new sister. So I was like, oh, it'd be nice if dad gets with her and we all hang in, and maybe we bring mom along. Like, I didn't understand the whole dynamic.
Okay.
So that didn't work out. As we got older, I would reach out. I always felt the connection with my sister. And then I reach out. And then my brother reached out later too, and she ended up living with my brother for a little bit as an adult, and then turns out she was lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And then when I met her again, when I got out of the military, I stayed with my brother a bit, and she was living in Texas. She's from Texas, and I was hanging out with her and her girlfriend. So I was like, oh, cool, I got a sister. Really nice to get to know her. And then she started identifying as a guy.
Oh.
So.
Hur gammal var hon då ungefär?
With the began identifying as a man? Mm. Mid to late 20s.
Okay.
Late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had to be late 20s. She's older than me. So, yeah. Or he's older than me. Sorry.
It's
so confusing sometimes. But I try to get it right.
No, I wish.
Now he goes by Toy and lives as a man.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I körkortet och allting. Helt.
I don't think it's especially. Well, now he lives in Pennsylvania. I don't know how that is.
Ah, okay.
Because it's not official. It's not like the gender change.
Ah, just.
So it's just live. I don't even want to say what it is. I don't know what it is.
No.
You know they have terms for all of that stuff.
Oh,
I don't want to be wrong.
Man, det är ett jävla minfält, va?
I don't. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to blow up.
Right.
So. Yeah, so that's a little tidbit.
Ja, verkligen.
That's the family.
Verkligen. Men okej, okay, så men och du växte upp, var är din mamma här?
Sarah
där. Mm-hmm. Där är din mamma och där är alla ni och det var Uncle Pap som du växte upp med Uncle Pap, eller?
Yeah, we lived with him a little bit.
Oh, okay.
With Uncle Pap when I was in beginning of high school, 14, 15, and my mom started a daycare at his house.
Ah.
And started, like, she was making so much money, she stopped in America. That's a racket right there, daycare, because it's so expensive in the U.S.
Uh-huh,
so okay. You just get a few kids, and it's going well, and then all of a sudden, you're making good money,
because
everybody needs it, and it's expensive.
Okay.
So you could drop a little bit below the norm, and you build it up, you know? So she did that, and my mom made it a school, too, so she's, like, she's really good at teaching. I have no memories of not knowing how to read. Like, it's...
Ah, okay. Ja, hon började tidigt med det.
When I was two, I knew how to write my name.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. My country ass family were like, those kids' heads gonna pop. You keep teaching them all that stuff. so my mom, she's really good at that. So she started a daycare school, and then everybody started liking it. All the kids, you know. And
är det som en friskola då? Som en privat, alltså...
Right, it's like a private preschool.
Mm-hmm.
But she built a room, like, I mean, she changed the room in the back of the house to the daycare.
Oh, you know what I mean?
And then we painted it and set it all up. And but it was Uncle Pap's house.
Okay.
So my mom was paying him the mortgage money, you know. And she had started making so much, she stopped working at the hospital. She's a surgical tech.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the podcast, too, Power Meter Podcast. I'm sorry to keep plugging my shit.
Nah, it's good.
She's got an episode on there where she talks about craziest stuff that happened in the emergency room.
Oh, okay.
In the operating room.
So, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it might not be for the queasy. It's a good one. But she had the daycare. She's paying for the mortgage, giving him the money every month, and he was buying crack. So,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Or whatever drug of choice he was using. And he lost the house.
Wow.
So we had to leave. Yeah, like, it was like, it shook us up pretty bad because he had this whole comfort, and he's like, sorry. He calls everybody kinfolk. Kinfolk, I wasn't paying. I wasn't paying it, so gotta go, kinfolk.
Oh,
yeah. So we had to leave.
Men det var inte han som var. Vem var det som var i construction och gjorde pengar?
That's Uncle Riley. That
was, Riley.
Yeah, we had to talk. He died. One story, a legend about in the family about Uncle Riley. It's crazy. He died at 35, and the stories that my mom tells is like it seems like this dude lived for 60 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot in his 35 years, but my mom can tell these stories better, but Uncle Riley got shot. The last time he got shot, he died when the bullet that killed him. His last words, according to the people that were there, were, Lord, have mercy. That's a saying, you know.
No, absolutely.
Lord, have mercy. You know, a lot of people say that if something, you know, especially in the past, in the old days. And according to the legend, Booster, my great grandma, was walking through her house, and it was like her house is always hot, you know, so everybody's just chilling with fans on and shit. And then she fell to the ground, grabbed her chest, and said, "Lord, have mercy." And everybody's like, are you all right, Booster? You okay? And then she stood up. She's like, I don't know what happened to me, you know. So they're saying at the same time.
Ah.
Both of them said.
One type of telepathic.
Yeah, like that was the, and that was his last words. And
jag har hört om det, att vissa människor kan, de får någon typ av dålig känsla när någon, yeah, när någon dör eller någonting, så här, någonting händer med dem.
Yeah.
Jag har hört det förut.
But that's what the legend says about that. But as far as more, I wanted to start with Granddaddy Zach. I thought if we do it chronologically, that might be the best way.
Absolut.
Where we start with that. So, I mean, for the beginning, I have to call my mom.
Ska vi göra det nu?
Yeah, well, unless you have some questions or something.
Nej, alltså jag har ju massa. Alltså vi skulle kunna hålla på i flera timmar med
no, I thought we can talk to her and then in the conversation. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then when we get more current, I can jump from there.
Ja, men precis. Vilka var du närmast när du växte upp av dina släktingar? Det var Uncle Pap, såklart.
Yeah, Uncle Pap. That was it was in kind of phases. Well, Monk, my mom's siblings, I'm really close with.
Okay.
Monk, not so much Reggie because he was locked up so long.
Mm-hmm.
He did 15 years, as I said on your show. Uncle Willie, I thought he lived in New York, so it was cool when he come to town. We hang with him. I play him in chess and beat him. Uncle Pap and grandmother, of course. Gangsta Gussie is the one I was the closest with, probably, in my family. I go when I was home. Hot breakfast every morning when we were just home.
Okay,
just drive to her house and she had breakfast ready for us. Yeah, that's always nice. She's the most dangerous, but she's sweet. Yeah, and then my cousins on my generation. I didn't write their names on here, but yeah, I'm cool with them too. I'm close to my family. Yeah.
Och hur såg det ut när ni växte upp nära varandra? Var det typ i samma område, eller yeah, hur nära var familjen geografiskt?
We moved around a lot, but we always, for the most part, we were in Miami. So it's like North Miami, a part of Miami called Carroll City, Liberty City for a little bit. That's like closer downtown. That's the, when I was growing up, it was the dangerous part. Now, North Miami, there's a park called Miami Gardens that I've heard now they're calling Murder Gardens.
No.
But it seems like the gentrification is happening where they're making the bad neighborhoods, raising the prices, moving in white people. So all of the hood people are moving north.
Okay.
So I think that's my theory on why Miami Gardens is now Murder Gardens. Because when I was a kid, Miami Gardens was the nice part. That's where, like, the stadium and all of that is over there. For the Hard Rock Stadium.
Okay.
Football team.
Okay. Dolphins Stadium. Eller?
Yeah, it's called Hard Rock Stadium now. But yeah, that's where the Dolphins play.
Okay.
So yeah, I grew up, we're mostly North Miami. The central location for everybody is like, it's in the city, in Liberty City. The store, like, it's now a nail shop. Monk does nails, my uncle.
Houston.
Yeah, he does nails in that shop. But that was Gangsta Gussie, grandmother. I'll say grandmother for now. But grandmother she got with a guy, granddaddy. He died when I was young. But he raised my mother. It's not my mother's father, biological father. But he raised her, and he owned a store in the hood. And they got together, and now she ran it after he died. And that's like, they turned that, it was in the hood, man, you don't just have a store. You know what I'm saying? You have that property, and you make money how you can. So sometimes there's a car wash outside, they're making money off of that.
Okay.
Then she's cooking food in the back. My uncle's doing nails in there. And it's also a convenience store where you can buy some potato chips and sodas and some beer. Or whatever you want. So I learned how to work a register at 5 years old.
Okay.
With my grandmother. Because I was basically a slave. I would be down there and work a whole Saturday, and I'm happy with my $20. But really, I worked for 13 hours. I felt like Napoleon Dynamite. It's a dollar an hour.
Så är det när man det är ju familjeföretag liksom.
Yeah,
så,
exactly.
Man tar in barnen för att säga, hey, du måste jobba här.
So that's the location, like the point. And,
det är som ever... det finns en tobaksbutik här uppe på Högbergsgatan, tror jag, med en frisörstol.
Oh wow.
Så man kan gå in och köpa snus och så kan man få en klippning.
That's what I'm talking about. That person got that Miami spirit, bro. That store, it was a convenience store at first, only, before my uncle learned how to do nails and turn into a nail shop. And my grandmother put a kitchen in the back. There was arcade games in there. So I used to, I didn't get a lot of video games and stuff, but I would pretend those are the games I had because I could play at the store.
Det var ju bättre än det man hade hemma, arcade games. Det var ju drömmen.
But my grandmother wouldn't give you no quarters.
Nej, nej,
nej.
Nej, men hon hade nyckeln, eller hur? Hon hade nyckeln till man kunde öppna upp. Inte, nej.
My grandmother didn't let us play that game, man. Oh, well, you have to get, you have to have money. Gussie don't play, man.
Vad fan, hon låter inte ens barnen spela. Det kostar henne ingenting. Men hon kan bara öppna upp nyckeln.
I don't know if she had the key, though.
Ja, hon ägde inte spelen, eller? Nej.
Probably not.
Okej, de bara ställde in dem där och så. Jag förstår. Fan. Det var ju en dröm när man var liten med flipperspel och arkadspel, att man kunde ha den där nyckeln. Så går man in och så trycker man på den lilla pinnen, så ding, ding, ding. Och så kan man få credits.
Yeah, exactly.
Men,
when the guy came to change it out, like to take the money or whatever, mm-hmm. he would always give us credits.
Okay.
So that was cool. And that was Saturdays. Like, he would come on the weekends. And I was always working on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool when he's back there. Always a nice guy. He'll give me some credits and then close it up and lock it. And that was cool.
Har du sett de tuggummi-maskinerna som brukar stå utanför en affär? Man stoppar in en peng och så vrider man runt så. Vi kom på när jag var liten att det fanns ett knep. Man kunde ta lite tuggummi och lägga längs kanten på myntet. Mm. Och sen så stoppar man ner det. Och då ramlar den inte ner, utan den bara snurrar. Så kunde man kunde tömma en hel sån maskin.
Damn, I wish I'd have thought of that. We just my aunt spent so much money on bash when we were down there. Just a couple weeks ago, we went to eat at a buffet and they had a bunch of bubblegum and candy machines and stuff. You know, because a bunch of old people go there with their grandkids probably. Mm-hmm. It's such a setup. My aunt had to spend $8 mm-hmm. on my son trying to, you know, grab the little claw to grab the toys. Such a ripoff. And then the bubblegum machine. And getting the little toys and the little balls.
Ja, just det.
Yeah, I wish I would have known about that.
Cool. Har du sett videon på ungen som fastnar i en sån? Som sitter på insidan av en sån.
Oh, wow.
det ser ut som ett stort, det är bara glasväggar, det är som ett akvarium. Och så är den där klon. Och så är en unge som sitter och bara tar handen på rutan och bara gråter. Och hennes mamma är så här, mommy's here, baby, mommy's here. And he's like,
oh, wow.
Jag har ingen aning om hur han hamnade i maskinen.
I know, right? Somebody's fucking with that kid. But the shop got, the store's in the hood, and it got robbed. That's why my grandmother's so paranoid. That's why she carried a gun. So one of the stores that my mom...
What kind of gun?
Grandmother, she had a 38.
Just a revolver kind of?
Not a revolver, though. It was automatic.
Automatic?
A 38 caliber pistol.
Oh.
Yeah, and my mom used to carry... She says she was there. The first time I saw the gun, she says she was there. She left it on the mantle.
Okay.
And she said it was a test to see if we would touch it.
Good test,
yeah.
Grandmama.
My mother. Not my...
your mother.
But my mom, we woke up and nobody was there. And we walked out and we saw the gun on the mantle. And then we're like, mom left a gun. And I told my brother and I told my sister and then... We left. We like left it alone and went to watch TV or something.
Okay.
And then my mom, according to her, I reminded her, I was like, why would you, that's pretty irresponsible. And she said, I was watching y'all. I wanted to see what you would do if the gun was out to make sure that you're safe. So
I don't buy that.
Yeah, it sounds like
something. I don't buy that at all.
We should ask her about it when we call her. You're a liar!
That's when you get called on your shit and you go, oh, you passed the test. Like,
exactly.
No, there was no test.
You forgot your goddamn gun.
Yeah.
No, but first time I saw a gun was at the store. I was working the register. You know, I had to be 6 years old or something, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And working the register. And I used to look. I couldn't touch the candy, but I would look at it.
Yeah.
I wasn't. My mom never let me eat candy until I was like 12. I had candy for the first time.
Men du måste ju ha sprungit på godis innan.
No.
Du höll dig helt borta från det.
Yeah,
du menar kompisar i skolan eller någonting? Nah, ingenting?
I was just like, I don't need candy.
Oh.
They thought I was a weirdo. I would win spelling bees and shit and get raisins. My mom would tell him, but or sugar-free candy. So the candies I tasted were sugar-free, and I thought candy's nasty. I was like, this is fucking nasty. I don't want candy. No, keep your candy. And then I had it. I remember my first candy was a Baby Ruth, the long bar with the peanuts in it.
Oh, so my chocolate.
I went big, man. I finally was able to get a candy. I was like, you know, I'm gonna get the biggest bar. I used to just look at it. But anyway, I was looking at all of the candies under there, and I just happened to look down, and I saw a revolver, like on a nail, like a nail was hammered into the counter.
Oh, okay.
And the gun was hanging by. I don't know what you call that. Where the
bottom trigger
of the trigger.
Yeah.
So the gun was hanging, like point. It wasn't point. It was kind of pointing up, kind of. And I was like, oh shit! I remember my heart kind of sank when I saw the gun. I was like, oh, like I knew it was a powerful thing, you know. I never touched it or anything, but it's there because I put it to, and it's crazy. I was so young. I put two and two together. Like, oh, if somebody tries to rob, you pull this gun and be like, no, you get the fuck out, type of thing.
Wow.
So, and I was just like, I remember thinking, like, is this my responsibility? I'm a fucking kid. If someone tries to rob us, my uncle always does nails. He always did nails at the front. Like, you're kind of trapped in there. So it's like the counter with the register and then his counter with the nails. And his back was to me. So I'm kind of on my own, pretty much. And I just work the register, read or whatever, or talk to him. I would go up. And that's how I learned how to talk to women, actually, because he was a flirt with every customer.
Var det därför han började med naglar? För att träffa tjejer, eller?
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah, he says, when I didn't know that until he was on my pod, he was talking about it. He's just like, yeah, I was wondering how I could get at these women, man. What way can I get? He's like, if I'm holding their hands all the time, then they have to listen to what I'm saying.
Ja, du sitter ju där. Hur lång tid tar det att göra 10 naglar?
Yeah, probably 20-30 minutes.
Ja, visst. Och ni sitter ju där mitt emot.
Yeah, I would say, and doing feet. He does pedicures.
That is.
guess the name of the company. The nail company is called Nails by Daddy.
Just det. Jag minns det. Jag minns du berättade det.
And the slogan is Daddy Do Me. Anyway.
Men det är smart. Jag har tänkt den tanken också. Varför är det bara när man gör TV och så, det är någon, om man ska få smink i ansiktet, så är det alltid någon, antingen är det en tjej eller så är det en gay kille som gör sminket.
Yeah.
Jag tänker, varför är det inte fler snubbar som blir makeup-artister? Du får träffa tjejer hela dagarna. Det är
and
allt du gör.
Beautiful.
Ja, and och de är jätteglada, förhoppningsvis.
Yeah.
Varför inte liksom?
Jag
vet inte. Skulle jag vara 20 nu, så skulle jag nog tänka, fan, det där kan vara ett bra jobb ändå.
Yeah. And you would think a guy doing nails is a soft dude. This dude is not soft.
Hard
Monk.
Ass.
Uncle Monk, yeah. Somebody came in. They were trying to rob. My mom was there. And they were trying to, I guess they were trying to see the like, check out the situation, see if they could rob them. So they're talking, the lady starts talking shit to my mom. And my mom is a fighting ass woman. Yeah, I'll put it like that. My mom is always ready to fight. And the lady was talking shit to her, so she talked shit back. And my mom, she's really aggressive, you know what I mean? So I guess the lady kind of backed down a little bit. And the dude that was with her came up next to her, looked at the lady, and raised his shirt. That showed my mother he had a pistol. And my mom said, he got a gun. And Monk was doing nails, dropped the stuff he was doing, grabbed a broom, hit the ceiling, and a sawed-off shotgun fell out of the ceiling into his hands, and he cocked it, and the dudes ran off. They ran off instead of trying to rob them. But he's always ready, man. It's like, they've been robbed. They had a shootouts down there before, and I remember the only time that I remember being there is when, during a shootout, when I was there, and everybody, my grandma, my mom, my uncle, my grandfather, everybody had guns.
Wow.
And they like told us to get out in the back room, and we like laid down, and they went out to make sure when shit going down. I was like, what the fuck? And it was weird that it was scary, but it was like exciting too. And I know it's probably fucked up.
Yeah.
It probably sounds fucked up, but I was like, oh man, you know.
Det är drama liksom. Det är på riktigt.
I was like, man, this is, it's going down.
Men då kanske man måste vara om man är så pass ung som man inte förstår konsekvenserna,
exactly. Yeah.
Då kanske man inte kan ta till sig det lika mycket som om man är, jag vet inte.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I didn't
Hur gammal var du då?
I had to be between 7 and 10 somewhere in there. Yeah, probably 9 years old or something. Yeah. And I was just like,
men det är också en tid i livet när knappt någonting känns på riktigt.
Liksom. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, it was just like, and then I didn't even go, it's not even like I went to school and talked about it. Like, oh man, I was down there, and I just, it happened. It was too normal.
Okay.
When I think about it now.
Hur många gånger ungefär?
That didn't, but like I was, when I was working for FedEx, there was a driver who worked in the worst part of Newark, New Jersey. And I was just talking to him about it, and he was like, in the hood, it's not dangerous. I can relate to this, what he said. That's why I'm telling you. He said, it's not that it's dangerous. You don't go around scared. So you just see some crazy shit. And then you're just like, oh, well. You know what I mean? It's like, that's crazy too. Like the dude that got shot the other day by the police in California. No, in Texas. He was walking down the street with his pants down.
Yo, I saw him, yeah.
Talking shit. And it's like, that shit, my mom told me a story when she was here. No, when I was down there, she told me about a guy who was walking around just like that in Miami, in Liberty City, walking around.
Byxorna nere vid vristerna och bara vaggar ungefär.
That's what happened in Texas. The guy there was just walking around threatening cars as they passed.
Okay.
And I guess this guy kind of did the same thing in Texas. But my mom had told me about this dude who did it, and everybody kind of left him alone.
Uh-huh.
Cars like avoid him, and then there was some construction going on, and he fell into like a manhole.
Oh,
and they were just like, he was talking all this shit, and then he disappeared, and they're like, oh, what the fuck happened to this dude? So you just got, it's just crazy. Basically, it's just crazy shit happens, and you just like move on.
Jag såg igår på perrongen på tunnelbanan. Gick jag ner, jag kom precis ner på perrongen och så ser jag bakom en, vad ska man säga, en sån godisautomat, en vending machine.
Mm.
Så stod det en gubbe och bara så här runkade frenetiskt, så här, snabbt och hårt. Bara så här. Han var kanske, jag vet inte, 60-70 år gammal.
Hands in the pants? Or
nej, like... byxorna alltså nere vid knäna ungefär.
Damn.
Och bara kuken ute och bara så står så här. Och jag bara kollar på honom och bara, vad fan. Men sen ser jag att han runkar inte alls. Det är sån efterskak. Han har pissat. Han har pissat på perrongen. Och han efterskakade snoppen lite för länge. men det var
I don't want any urine in my underwear.
Nej, men det var precis. Because I'm neat and clean.
Yeah, as I pee out here on this soda machine.
Men det var så, han skakade av och sen drog han upp byxorna och jag bara såhär, vad fan. Men då blev det ändå lite så, skönt att det inte var något äckligt. För att jag trodde att han stod och runkade.
At least he's not jacking off.
Ja, precis. Och så var jag såhär, du bara pissade. Men okej, det är bra. Alltså,
you went up and to say something to him, you were like, sir, thanks for not jacking off.
Ja, precis. Thank you, sir. Nej, det var obehagligt, men ändå blev det så, det var så riktigt äckligt. Och sen var det så här, men det är inte lika äckligt. Yeah. Så det var lugnt. Men det är inte ofta man ser det i Stockholm.
Nej,
Stockholm är en helt annan en helt annan grej. Men för din fru är från Stockholm.
Right.
Har hon varit tillbaks till dina gamla hemkvarter? Vad säger hon då? För det måste vara jätteannorlunda för henne.
It is, but one time she kind of I call it kidnapping. Sometimes my family will be like, "Come with me to the store real quick," and then you go on for 8 hours. You know what I mean? And she got kidnapped by my aunt. Man, she don't know how to avoid. She didn't know how to avoid that shit back then.
Ah, I used to.
Just because you want to be nice, or whatever.
Yeah, I used to.
And this was one of her first times going, and this was in Miami Gardens, Murder Gardens. You know what I mean? So my aunt used to live there. Sandra,
men de vill bara umgås, eller när de kidnappar henne, de vill bara umgås.
Yeah, they just want to kind of show her around. You know, everybody likes Sandra. She's so laid back and cool. Like everybody's like, in my family, they warmed up to her very quickly.
Okay.
But people in the hood, they don't expect to see a Swedish chick, you know, around it. Like a lot of them never seen a white person in person.
Nah, come here.
Yeah. Real talk.
Predicted.
Yeah, on TV. So it's just like when I was in Turkey and I would go out to the, you know, out and about, some of those people were like rubbing my skin, see if it comes off type of thing. You know what I mean? They never. Like,
yeah, in när du var I Turkiet, eller?
Yeah.
Oh, just det.
Yeah, they would go kissing my hand and stuff like that.
Oh, just det.
It's like, I was, and that was her there. You know, nobody did that.
Nej, just det. Men jag har hört om folk som är i, när det är amerikanska soldater i Kurdistan och sånt där. Alltså, långt, långt upp. Alltså väldigt så remote areas. Och de är så, de kan knappt, för de har inte ens sett det på bild. De har inte ens sett en svart människa på bild. Så de är så, de bara blir förvirrade och var såhär, vad är det här? De har ingen aning. Så.
So Sandra was that for them. Okay. I mean, but they see white people on TV.
Såklart.
But you just don't see one walking around Miami Gardens.
Ah, förstår.
So it's like, and Renee, my aunt, who's a awesome lady, she kidnapped Renee, I mean, kidnapped Sandra and took her to sell some conch, to sell conch fritters out at the park.
Ja, berätta om conch snabbt. Det är någon typ av...
It's a shellfish.
Just det.
It's a snail inside of the conch shell that you listen to hear the ocean.
Just det.
It's the animal that lives in the shell.
Okay.
And my family is all about conch, man.
Okay.
And it's a Bahamian dish type of thing. I mean, a specialty in the Bahamas.
Okay.
My family, they go to the Bahamas. That's what, that was the thing. When I was a kid, they went more than they do now.
Okay.
But, and they are, my uncle's, that's one of his main sources of income. Munk, he does nails, and then he has a conch stand where he sells conch salad that he made up a version of conch salad that is very popular. He won an award like at a jazz festival for best tasting food.
Okay,
of a conch salad. I eat it every time I go home. It's amazingly delicious. And it's fresh. It's like a fresh thing, you know.
Cool.
And conch has a consistency kind of rubbery, and it's like calamari kind of.
Yeah, just it.
But It's a salad, so it's like a vinegar and some other stuff. It's really good. And he puts mango in it. I think that's his secret. Or not anymore. So Renee, she uses conch that's chopped up, and she puts it, makes a batter, fries it, and sells it as like a little patty.
Okay.
And it's called conch fritters. They're popular in Miami.
Some snack, eller some...
They eat it like a snack, yeah. Mm-hmm. They eat it like... She serve it in a napkin and, like, give it out. Or maybe a little paper plate.
Oh, sure.
So she... But my... Renee sets up a stand anywhere.
Oh.
They hood. You know, she's educated hood, you know. She does kidney dialysis for a living. But then she only worked a few days out of the week so that she could still... spend more time at home, you know, and still live in low-income housing.
Nice.
So that's how, that's Renee.
Oh, the entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, living in low-income house, she would make too much money if she worked all the time.
Ah, for sure.
So she didn't work all the time, and she got to spend more time with her kids and stuff. She thought it was a good trade-off.
Ah,
more power to her. She moved away now, but I mean, she's still in Florida, but she moved to a nicer place. Anyway, when Sandra was there, Renee took her to the park in the hood and just set up a conch stand.
Oh.
Start selling conch. And Sandra's like, what? And so people started walking up, giving her money. Like, and they assumed the white woman was going to take the money. You know what I mean? she's just like, start taking people money, trying to get the change. And like, what the fuck is happening? And then she took her to Mama's house, a lady named Mama. There's always a lady named Mama. And Mama sells candy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's an older lady taking care of all her grandkids. Some hood, straight up hood shit, man. And Sandra was like, what the fuck is happening? Because Renee was like, we're going to see Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And Sandra's like, Mama? She's talking about my grandmother. She's like, no, we're going to see, you know, I'm going to show you Mama. Takes her to Mama's house. They end up hanging, talking shit and whatever, selling candy. The lady's like, stops the conversation because somebody come knock on the door to buy some candy. Sandra's like, this is very far from what she's used to.
Var det här ändå de första gångerna hon var där?
Yeah.
Okay. So ja, så hon visste inte, hon ville vara snäll och ville vara...
Got kidnapped. Hanging out Renee, man. But Renee's so sweet.
Och hur undviker man det då? Hur undviker man Renee?
Say, nah, I don't feel like doing that. And that's the thing, she won't be offended. She'll be, all right, well...
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll do something else, you know what I mean?
Oh, I understand.
My brother... When I go home, I always hang. I used to, when I was in the military, I used to come home and stay with Renee.
Mm-hmm.
That was like my family thing. Go stay with Renee. Go down to the store. Go see Munk. You know what I mean? go, you know, see all my friends from high school and shit like that. But Renee was the place where, because everybody was coming over there to her house and shit like that. Parties, you go to Monk's house. He always had great parties.
Mm-hmm.
I got to show you his backyard. He has a movie theater in his house.
Oh.
The one who does nails. I'll show you his house. I took pictures while I was there last time. In the bottom of his pool, it says Daddy's Place.
No.
Yeah, I got a picture right here. Yeah, it's on my Instagram. Actually, Power Media Podcast Instagram.
Nails by Daddy, and then Daddy's Place.
Daddy's Place in the bottom of the pool. He did the tile. He decorated it himself. But I'll show you the picture in a minute. But what was I talking about? Shit, I lost my train of thought.
Nej, det var Renee och...
Oh yeah, Eddie is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Or ex-husband now. Yeah, they didn't divorce, but they're not together. But Eddie, I kind of grew up with him as... my uncle, you know, Renee's husband.
Oh, he's them.
And when I go home, I go to Renee's house. And my brother, he came home, but he kind of didn't, he never did that. He would go home and try to, like, have sex with the girls he never had sex with in high school type of thing.
Okay. You know
what I mean? That was kind of his thing. Just try to hang out and do the cool shit and party. But I would go home and do the family thing. I would still party sometimes, but it was more of a family one. And he really liked it when I did it. He said, man, I like how you do when you came. We were both home on leave at the same time. I like how you did that, man. I want to do that. This is really nice. And then Eddie came in. Hey, man, we're going out tonight. You want to go? And I was like, no, I'm good. And Jason was like, I'll go, man. That'd be nice, man. That's been nice to just hang out with the family. So then they go. And Jason had a truck. He had a nice SUV. And he's getting in. And Eddie's, oh, that's a nice truck, man. Hold on a second. Let me grab something real quick. Jason's like, all right. So then Eddie comes back out with a bunch of pots. And he's like, what you doing with all these pots? And he's like, oh, I got to make some money before we go out now, outside the club. So they go to the club, and my Uncle Eddie sets up a pot, like a conch stand. And he's like, who wants a conch? Who wants a conch? Conch man is here. Conch man is here. And he starts selling. And Jason's like, what the fuck? I'm supposed to go in the club now smelling like greasy conch? So they sold. And then he's like, nah, we could go in there. And now we could party, made a little change.
So. Jag älskar den. Det sättet hur man bara säger, nej men fan, vi kan göra pengar. Vi kan
göra pengar.
Man måste göra någonting. Man kan inte bara, det är inte så att du har din, liksom, det räcker inte att bara ha ditt jobb och ha din lön. Det funkar inte.
Nah, you gotta make that money, man. That's what it's all about. I'm gonna look this picture up real quick. I want you to see Monk's pool and his... And I can send it to you too, so you can...
Ja, vi kan lägga upp den.
Yeah, exactly.
Vad skulle jag säga? Jag respekterar det så jävla mycket. Jag respekterar entreprenörsanda och bara så här...
Yeah,
bara
kunna, you, have bara, you have it in yourself, man.
Ja, men jag hade inte det när jag var liten. Hade du det när du var liten? Gjorde du business också? Gjorde du också så? Nej, du jobbade i din
in the store.
Dina... Vad är det? Är det mormors butik.
Right.
Oh, that is nice.
You see the pool? There's a slide going into the pool.
Uh-huh.
There's a jacuzzi above it. I don't know if I got the jacuzzi.
Oh, so you can sit in the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Och sen kan du åka rutschbanan ner i poolen.
Yeah. Oh. And he has, to the left of that picture, I couldn't get it all, but he has like a patio with flat screen TVs.
Mm-hmm.
Outside. This is all outside.
Wow.
So that's the jacuzzi there. You can see a little bit of the jacuzzi.
Oh, for sure.
And then to the over here, like if I were to pan to the left, you'll see his patio with some chairs and some TVs. So you can like watch, like when he has a Super Bowl party, he has a fucking Super Bowl party.
Oh.
And inside he's got the big screen. People watch it on that. But then in the house, this is ridiculous. This is
Oh, that's nice. That's some. That is MTV Cribs.
Yeah,
that is MTV Cribs stuff.
It's got a 6-seat movie theater.
Wow,
it's insane. With the table, you can put your beer. You know, it's got cup holders and all that shit.
You should do a Cribs episode.
I think I will. Have him do it.
Yeah,
with his ghetto ass.
Yeah,
like, talk about.
Come on in, you broke motherfucker.
Exactly. Was that
right? Har du sett det, Chappelle?
Oh, Chappelle, yeah.
Jag vet inte om han spelar någon rapper eller någonting.
Nej.
Han öppnar så. Öppnar dörret. Come on in, you broke motherfucker.
But yeah, that's... my family's like that. Yeah, they're all about that.
Wow.
My grandmother, when she was here, you know, I eat mostly plant-based, you know, and I thought it was going to be kind of tough for... Damn, all they eat, you know, she makes fried food every day.
Oh,
she has a food truck that she she's retired, but she just drives her food truck. Uh-huh. She has the food truck in the back of the store.
Okay.
And then people come to it and buy, and then sometimes she'll go park at the school and catch the kids coming out and just give them basically poison. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they bara friterade grejer.
Fried and like the sweetest. If she ever gives you a drink, like she calls a drink flip flop. It's like iced tea mixed with Kool-Aid or some shit like that.
Oh, okay.
They bara pour half of it out and then dilute it with water, and then it's gonna be a little too sweet.
I'm sure.
It's bad. She just like, damn, you trying to kill these kids. So while she was here, I was like, oh yeah, this is spaghetti, but it's not real meat in it. You know what I mean? Or this is a pasta. She had never had a pasta salad before. And Sandra made a pasta salad, and she had one with no meat. You know, it's just like a vegan version for me. And my grandma's like, man, she's eating it. As she's eating it, she's like, oh, this is good. How you made this? Because I could sell this at the store, like off my truck. Uh-huh. They'll eat this up down there. And it's like everything was about money.
Just
turn everything into
a product. Men hon trodde verkligen att det kunde sälja?
I think it would. Yeah. Mm. See, I said it too. Because you'd be the only one down there.
Ja, just det.
And you probably get publicity off of it. I was thinking about it like that. You can market the fuck out of that.
Ja, just det.
Being the lady giving good food to the kids, and especially she could park outside the school like she does. Everybody, they would eat that up, man. She would have news cameras out there in no time.
Den första liksom som säljer grönsaker och färska grejer.
Yeah, I heard on the radio one time, and it was a DJ, and this was a popular black DJ, black station DJ, and he said, in my hood, you can get a gun easier than you could get a tomato. I was like, damn, shit. And I started thinking about where the closest place to get some vegetables in Liberty City. Like, from the store, you have to, Winn-Dixie, the grocery store, where, I don't even know where Winn-Dixie is. Like, if you don't have a car, you probably walk into the convenience store. They don't fresh fruits and vegetables or even frozen.
Samma sak med folk som inte har så mycket pengar. Alltså det billigaste som finns är ju typ någon typ av value meal från Burger King eller någonting sånt där. Och så äter de bara Burger King för att det kostar $2.
Right.
Men en sallad kostar $12.
Liksom. Right.
Så det är klart, alltså, om du inte har pengar, så vad fan ska du göra? Liksom?
Yeah.
Så det är väl det som är ett stort problem också.
Yeah.
Varför ska det vara så jävla dyrt med sallad? Liksom? Det borde inte vara så dyrt.
It's
det var någon komiker som sa det om Taco Bell. De har tacos för 79 cents. Den typen av.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, they have a taco for $1. It's like, I don't want to eat anything that costs $1.
Good point.
Something tells me it's not good for me.
Something, yeah. I didn't have any Taco Bell when I went home. I'm glad I didn't. It's a weakness of mine, man. Fast food restaurants.
Because
it seems so natural. It's hard to shake it.
Oh, yeah, for me också. Det kan vara så jävla gott att bara gå in och få en sån...
I did well this time when I was there. Because I put my whole plant-based on hold while I was down there. I was like, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go to McDonald's. I never would anyway go to McDonald's, but... Checkers is the spot, man, and I stayed away from Checkers.
Är det burgare också?
Yeah, Checkers is burgers and milkshakes and fucking fries. Best fries, though. Really good fries. Mm. I had Arby's fries while I was there. Arby's is good, too.
Mm.
We got to go together to the U.S. I got to show you.
Jag älskar den typen av mat, att uppleva mat. Yeah. Jag satt och tänkte när du pratade, bara tänkte säga, jag skulle kunna åka till Florida bara för att äta en conch salad.
Man, go to Monk. If you do it, go to my uncle. Go down to the shop.
Ja, det också. Det blir som en extra grej. Nu har du pratat om det. Det skulle vara kul att bara åka dit, äta conch salad.
Liksom. He makes it with a machete while you're there, too.
Because
he'll stop doing nails and go make you a conch salad. That's how you get it from his shop. You walk in, hey, man, hey, can you make me a conch salad? Whenever he has at a part where maybe the lady has to wash her hands or something, he'll be like, all right, get up, wash his hands, pull out the machete, chop up the conch, chop up the... bell peppers and onions and all of that shit. And then he has his little secret sauce he mixed with like vinegar and like some type of fruit punch or some other shit. Yeah, it's mango. I keep saying mango. It's pineapple.
Okay.
Pineapple in it.
Okay.
It's good, man.
Ska vi ringa Mama Rollins?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Jag vill höra hur vi...
The beginning?
Ja, precis.
Yeah, we could go through that. I hope your listeners like this, man.
Det tror jag verkligen.
Mama Rollins.
Say Ms. Rollins eller Mrs. Rollins.
You can say either one. She's not married anymore, though.
Okay.
So it would be...
So Ms. Rollins would be more correct?
Yeah. Oh, I'm on airplane mode, that's what. Or you could say Sarah.
Nah.
Okay. Ms. Rollins, then.
I'll say Ms. Rollins. I have a huge amount of respect for Ms. Rollins.
Yeah, better. Yeah. When is this releasing?
Next week?
Okay. Oh, next Friday.
Next Friday?
Thanks for giving us money, Patreon. You get this.
Yeah.
Mama Rollins.
Good morning.
You're on the air. Watch your dirty mouth.
Good morning, Ms. Rollins.
I'm looking at it. I keep looking at it.
What? What are you talking about,
Never
Mom?
Never mind, you missed it.
Yeah,
Ms. Rollins, you're
Good morning.
Good morning. Jonathan has been kind enough to tell me about your family and your giant gallery of amazing characters you have in your family.
They are characters.
He told me about Booster and Granddaddy Zach and Uncle Willie and Uncle Pap and Riley. And
we didn't go into Riley though. We couldn't go into him.
No, not that much. No. But and Munk and
crazy. He's still crazy.
Yeah. and Renee and Eddie, of course. I heard about how Renee kidnapped Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
And took her, kidnapped
yes,
her for
she
a whole
took
day.
Her to Mama's house.
Mama's
I don't
house.
Know Mama. I don't know Mama.
But I don't either.
Apparently, Renee knew Mama, and she took Sandra to Mama's house and introduced Sandra to Mama. Sandra was completely lost. She had no clue.
How is I hear Sandra is fitting in very well with your family. You seem to like her a lot, and vice versa.
I do like Sandra. Sandra is very hood.
Okay. In what way? Explain that to me. I don't understand it.
Nothing bothers Sandra. I love Sandra. Sandra fits right in. I mean, she doesn't let anything. Sandra is. You can laugh. Sandra laughs at herself.
Okay.
And it makes life so much easier to, you don't offend her. So, and that's basically how my family is. I mean, we tell jokes and whatever, and we pick on each other, but it's all in fun.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows it. So we laugh at ourselves when we're the butt of the joke. But believe you me, we're going to laugh at you when you're the butt of the joke. And right. Sandra fits in because Sandra knows how to laugh at herself when she's the butt of the joke.
Oh, I see. That's well great. Said.
But Sandra laughs at everybody else when they're the butt of the joke.
And that's how you know that it's good people, right?
Exactly. Sandra, I hear her snickering sometimes. And then sometimes I don't hear her. She'll try to laugh. If John says something about me, and she'll laugh, but she'll try to do it quietly. And I don't hear her, but I'll say, Sandra, stop laughing at me. And she's like, what? I'm laughing at something else, you know. But Sandra is, I love Sandra. Sandra has grown on all of us.
So I hear.
It's like John couldn't be John without Sandra at this point.
In what way?
You just would not know. It's like to have one, you have to have the other.
I see.
Yeah.
You never say John and it's just John. It's like John and Sandra.
She's successfully infiltrated my family. Look at that.
Yeah.
She did. It's like you wouldn't. It's like a compound word.
John and Sandra.
It's just not the same when you separate it.
Oh, I see. And of course, you have grandkids now also.
Hey, we hear them in the background. Yes. Tell them to shut up.
I do have my grandchildren, two of the six.
Yeah. So, out of all your family members, who are you closest to, and who do you think is the strongest character out of all of them?
Oh my goodness! Now.
Mm-hmm.
Or just in general, who would you say is the strongest character out of everybody in general? I know some aren't alive anymore, but you know.
Oh, you mean out of everybody?
Mm-hmm.
When you ask that, are you like, when you think of the family, who do you think about? Like, who's the cornerstone? Who's the rock?
No, I think first question is who are you closest to at the moment, and who's the strongest character out of all of them, dead or alive?
Dead or alive? Oh my goodness.
That's a hard question, I guess.
That's a very hard question because everybody has such strong personalities.
Mm-hmm.
In their own way, they are like major significant.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I think about my grandfather, who John never met, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You could not meet him and not remember him. But by the same token, if you met my Uncle Riley, he was almost like a legend in his own right. He was.
Yeah, John told me about how he had a lot of, was he the one in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
Who had a lot of business and going on?
Mm-hmm.
He was in Fort Lauderdale. He was, he had a very large construction company.
Mm-hmm.
That he grew himself. He did construction. My grandfather did construction as well. And he went into construction. And he always wanted to have his own company. So while he worked, he bought equipment. And he continued to do so until he was able to start his own company.
I see.
And he was hot-headed. He was not somebody that you would want to upset.
Talk about him shooting granddaddy.
To be honest, granddaddy initiated it because they knew one thing. Granddaddy, like Uncle Lat, would cut you, but granddaddy would shoot you.
Okay.
Uncle Lat is Booster's brother.
I see.
Granddaddy and Riley got into an argument, and granddaddy just like jumped up and ran in the house. Well, when granddaddy jumped up and ran in the house, everybody take cover because you know he's coming back out shooting. So when granddaddy ran in the house, Riley ran to his truck, and he had a 357 Magnum in his truck. Yeah. So I say that to say that if his intention was to kill granddaddy, he could have done it with no questions asked. And he was younger and had to draw on him anyway. So before granddaddy could come back outside, Riley was in the house with his pistol. And it was only the two of them in there. And I don't know what happened, but we heard two shots. I don't know if granddaddy got a shot off or not, but Riley did shoot him in the leg, but it hit him in the top part of his femur and shot his penis head off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they got to the hospital, though, when the police came and they asked what happened, my grandfather told them that my uncle was showing him his new gun and it discharged.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
And that's what he stuck by. And my uncle was always, every police officer, and when I tell you this, I mean it literally. Every police officer in Fort Lauderdale knew him.
In a good way?
They knew him. Oh, okay. He would drag race.
Oh, I see.
He would race on the street, and but they would never mess with him. Now, I'm not gonna say they were afraid of him, but they wouldn't. They just wouldn't mess with him. And so he became friends with most of them. So he would do stuff and get caught, and they would just let him go.
Oh, I see. And
so when but then there was like prosecutors that hated him. So they kept coming to the hospital trying to get my grandfather to press charges, trying to say it was intentional. But my uncle was extremely remorseful after it happened. You know, he left the house and he was nervous, he was scared because he knew that he was gonna go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
But he was remorseful that he had shot his dad. And he came to the hospital. Nobody had to do anything for my grandfather because he was there doing everything for him. He was just, I had never seen him so humble. And then later, in the later years, my grandfather developed throat cancer. And that was the first time I had ever seen my uncle, like, really break down and sob. My uncle was the strong one in the family. He was like,
you could be strong and cry.
The one that you would never expect to show emotion for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when my grandfather became ill, and believe you me, they would argue and fight like cats and dogs. They were like oil and water. You would think they never cared anything for each other to see them. I mean, it took nothing for them to get into an argument or a scuffle. But when my grandfather started to age and he started having dealing with illness, my uncle like literally broke down, and you saw a side of him that you had never seen before.
Okay,
wow,
Uncle Riley.
And the same thing when my uncle was killed on Easter Sunday, 1977.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and the thing is, when he had decided, because he was supposed to go to court that Monday, and he knew that he was going to be put in prison because he was in a fight at a club where my grandmother lived. There was a club down the street, and they frequent that club. And lots of people in Fort Lauderdale were afraid of him because of his reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody had said something to somebody else about taking him out or something. I think they put glass in his drink or something. It was crazy.
Oh.
And he ended up beating the guy up and cutting him. And he cut him pretty good. And he had gotten arrested, and then he had a court date. And that court date just happened to be the Monday after Easter. So he had been talking to my grandmother in the upcoming weeks leading to that about getting his life together. He's going to start going to church with her. He's going to stop caring. Because if you saw him, believe you me, he had a knife in one pocket and he had a .357 Magnum in the other pocket.
I was going to say, he cut the dude in the fight. He must always have a knife on.
Everybody knew that. And he would fight. He would fight at the drop of a hat. And so he had called Grandma. He told Grandma, Grandma called my mom, which is her only daughter, and she was telling her that he really is trying to change his life. And she had never seen him so humble before. And he's reading the Bible. He was carrying the Bible, and he had scriptures written down. Yeah. And I remember he had the 27th Psalm written and in his pocket. And I didn't know that until after he died. And my grandmother, my mom went and picked my grandmother up for Easter, and she brought it to my aunt.
Isn't the 27th Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd"?
No.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Who shall I fear?
Exactly.
And then he got shot to death. You don't find any irony? Huh? There's a little bit of irony in him having that in his pocket, and then he dies. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Whom shall I fear?
Yeah, and then he gets shot to death.
So anyway,
you fear the gun.
When my mom brought my grandmother back home, they saw him. He was at the liquor store. And he told my grandmother that he was going to be coming around to her house. And she said, come on and go with us now. And he said, no. He said, here, take this $5 and get you some beer. And she said, I don't want no beer. So he said, well, just keep the $5 and get you some later. And I'm on my way around there. I'll meet y'all at the house. But instead of coming to the house, he detoured and stopped off and started shooting dice with somebody, you know, somebody else, some guy he didn't even know.
Did he have the Bible on him still? Or, I mean, he was at the liquor store. Hold on. He's changing his life. Mom, he's changing his life around. And then he was hanging out at the liquor store, and then he go to shoot some dice.
Right.
Okay.
But wait,
carrying a gun and a knife.
With a knife on him and a gun on him. Okay.
Different part of changing his life there, listen to me now, is that he did not have a knife in his pocket, nor did he have his pistol.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So in that regard, he thought he was doing much better.
Baby steps.
Bible quotes only.
he put his gun down and picked up a Bible verse. Okay.
And so when they left and he went shooting dice, I mean, come on, you changing your life and you shooting dice. And then he was shooting dice to somebody he didn't know, and he had been drinking. And people that were there said that he was pretty drunk. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like he had drank quite a bit. He wasn't. So anyway, the guy he was shooting dice with, apparently he had lost $5.
Who lost $5?
Man, I don't want to play no more. You know, just give me my $5.
Okay.
Well, my uncle being my uncle, you always go back to what you know. He said, you ain't getting no $5. And the man said, you owe me $5. He said, well, take it.
Dang.
So, and that was his personality. And the man.
So it's basically like robbing somebody.
His piece. He pulls out a gun.
Okay.
Witnesses say that were there. That when he pulled out the gun, my uncle knocked the gun out of his hand and beat the man to a pulp.
Oh. Mm.
In the name of Jesus.
Saw the gun, and as the man was getting up off the ground, he grabbed the gun. My uncle tried to get the gun first, but then, you know, his reflexes weren't what they would be because he was intoxicated.
Right.
The man got the gun, and they say he just came up shooting.
I bet.
Wow.
And hit him in the chest with a 357 Magnum or 44 Magnum, one of them.
I told Martin about Grandma saying, Lord have mercy, and that's the last one.
Yes, she was at the house. She didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
She was at the house, and she had gone in the kitchen to get something, and she was coming back from the kitchen through one of the bedrooms. The houses, they were built different back then. And as she was coming through, she fell to her knees and grabbed her chest and said, Lord, have mercy. And witnesses that were at the scene said when the bullet hit him in the chest, he fell. And as he fell, he said, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah, I heard that happen before. I keep hearing these stories about somebody close to somebody can tell, you know, something is wrong.
Yeah.
Physically.
Right.
I wanted to talk about about Munch too, because he seems like a fascinating person, and also
Munch is crazy. Munch,
he's the new patriarch of the family, I think.
Yes, and the thing with Munch is anything dumb that could happens to Munch or Jason.
Okay.
My brother's Jason.
Okay.
All the dumb stuff. Like Munch does nails. You told him Munch do nails?
Oh, yeah. I heard a lot about Munch.
Yeah, Munch does nails. So when this lady died, died, and she was known in Miami for her extremely long nails.
Mm-hmm.
So when she died, her family was concerned about her nails. So they told the guy at the funeral home, whatever you do, don't let anything happen to her nails. Because they wanted to highlight her nails in her coffin, which is weird to me.
Yeah.
So when they were putting her in the coffin, they broke one of her nails.
Oh.
So the funeral home guy freaked out. And so he called my brother because he knew my brother does nails. So my brother said, okay, he'll go up there and he'll fix the nail. So he fixed the nail, and you couldn't tell that anything had ever happened with the lady's nail. So after that, he started offering people to get the nails of of the dead person done, so that they their hands would look nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so they started doing that like almost regular. And my brother went up there. They had this body up there, and they were like, they need the nails done. And he said he was sitting down and he's filing the nails. And if you know anybody ever get their nails done, when they're filing them, it starts to heat up and it burns.
Right.
And they snatch their hands back.
Uh-huh.
So Monk's doing this lady's nails, and he's filing, and the table is not secure, so it's shaking.
Uh-huh.
And he's just filing away. And then all of a sudden, finally, it shakes to the point where it loosens, and the whole table falls. She's on a metal table. So when it falls, it makes this loud sound, you know. And it looked like the lady snatched her hand back out of his hand. He just lost it. He screamed. He jumped up. He ran out of the funeral home.
Did he believe in...
You know, that's the kind of stuff happened to Moon. He gets in his car, and as he opens the door, a bird flies in, and he didn't see the bird fly into the car. So he starts... It's like major hot. It's like 90 degrees in Miami. He starts the car up with the air condition blowing, and this bird freaks out and just starts flying all around in the car. In the car with the door closed, and he's screaming, trying to get out, because the bird flying around. He just dumb stuff happens.
The thing, I lost my, I was going to talk about a different story. I forget.
Another different story is... Ms. Rollins, John has been telling me about some sort of a court case in Alabama where something happened to you and you started speaking in a different accent. Can you elaborate on that?
Don't tell too much of my personal business.
Well, it's public record, Ms. Rollins.
I know, huh? My brother was in trouble with drug dealing.
Mm-hmm.
He was innocent, though, right?
And we went to court. And the thing is, although he wasn't innocent, he wouldn't have gotten in trouble if he wasn't hanging around a certain person.
All right.
Well, they were looking for this person.
He probably would have eventually got in trouble,
though. My brother, and my brother got arrested, and he didn't want to let his money go, so he ended up going to jail. So this lady, we get there, and they know that he has a sister, my sister Renee. They know that he has a brother, but they didn't know about me, and then me having a different last name because I had been married made it all the more easy. So, excuse me, I went to be a character witness for him because my children, quote unquote, played on his football team. He was a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So we get there and so the lady didn't know me. So I just really went into character as this Jamaican woman. So they call me up to the stand and I go up to the stand and I do this ritual, brush the seat off. Like, you know, like I'm really worried about where I am and don't trust the spirits around here or whatever. So I sit down and the lady is like, state your name. And I said, my name's Sarah Rowland. And she wanted to know how I knew Reginald. And I said, him my children's coach. Him coach football for my children. So, you know, we sitting there and she say, Reginald's mother paid you to come here, didn't she? And I said, me no have no woman pay for me, mom. Me have job. Me work my job and me pay for myself. Me don't have Reginald mama pay for me. So this lady is like, I mean, I act like I got offended. I just went ham on her in this Jamaican accent. And she was not ready. And as I looked, I was trying not to look at the jury. But out of my peripheral, I could see some of them like cracking up. They were like laughing.
Was that whole act planned out or did it become spontaneous?
Well, I had told my brother Moon that I was going to do the Jamaican accent because I was trying to not. Reggie and I look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that they didn't notice that we look alike, you know? And then with the Jamaican accent, it was like, yeah, there ain't no way they related, because he's not Jamaican.
Right. Did you try anything to make yourself look less like your brother?
Exactly. I didn't do anything else other than the Jamaican accent.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, I was not, the highlight was Moon, because Moon got up there, okay. Reggie said me and Moon was going to get him life, because I'm pretending to be this Jamaican woman. Then Moon got up there pretending to be the lover of the guy that initially they were looking for, that Reggie was with. So Moon gets on the witness stand with his shirt tied up over his big belly, and he's trying to act like he's
no.
gay. He had this feminine accent, and he's sucking his mouth, and he's going through all of this and talking about him and Kermit were lovers forever.
Well, so did it work?
He started questioning him. He was like all in character, and then the lady said, "Did you sign for Reginald to rent this car?" And he said, "No." She said, "I have your signature right here." So now she's trying to catch him up in it. The funny thing was, he untied his shirt on the witness stand, and he was like, "Nah, I signed for nothing." He went from, "Well, I know Miss Kermit. And me and Miss Kim have been together for a long time." He was doing all this stuff. And then he said, "Nah, I ain't signed for no car. That ain't my signature."
He just completely switched.
So, yeah, he did the switcheroo right on the witness stand. Like, y'all gonna get me life. Man, no game. He got serious.
Did you feel it sort of, it worked? Did you?
It did. He had a hung jury that time.
Oh, good. Good. So,
yeah,
man.
That time. So he had a hung jury. And then, of course, that prosecutor wasn't giving up. So they brought him back for a second trial. And she was ready for all of us.
Oh, you can do the same act again?
She came back as a Haitian lady.
The same prosecutor, and she wasn't having it. She was ready for us that time.
Oh,
That's when he got convicted.
Oh, I see.
27 years.
How did that feel when, of course, yeah, the conviction is awful, but how did that feel when you couldn't do the same act again, when you were called on it?
I mean, it was bittersweet for me, because my mom got offended when I said, when we left, and I was like, "I believe God knows best, and at least we know where he is." At the rate he, okay, the guy that he was with that they were initially looking for, they were looking for murder. Reggie did not know that this guy was wanted for murder. He had killed somebody that had been a friend to him and was running drugs with him, just like Reggie. And he had killed the guy, chopped him up, and set him on fire.
Oh.
Yeah. Reggie didn't know that. We didn't know that until after the trial. So when you think about it, what would he have done to Reggie when he got to the point where he felt like he didn't need Reggie anymore?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So I'm like, at least he's not dead. At least we can go visit him. You know, he's going to get out, hopefully. You know, so.
And we did visit him.
We're not going to a grave site. That's how I saw it.
Did I tell you I met Noriega in jail?
Who?
Noriega.
Exactly.
The Noriega?
He was locked up with Reggie.
No.
I met Noriega. I thought I told you that.
The Manuel Noriega. Noriega from.
Manuel Noriega was locked up with Reggie.
From Nicaragua?
Nicaraguan cartel or
Nicaragua,
whatever.
So. Yeah.
Wow.
He was over there. He had like a lawyer or something with him, and they were we would go visit Reggie, and he was like, "They go Noriega over there."
Yeah, and they would put Noriega, when Noriega had when his attorney would come, he would go into like a little private glass room, and they would have him in there instead of out in the general population.
Oh, so you didn't talk to him or anything?
No, I didn't talk to him around. Yeah. So.
Wow, that's great. He's still there? No, not anymore, right?
Reggie's not in anymore.
No, but Noriega.
This was in Miami in like the early 90s.
No, I think Noriega died, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know.
Most likely, yeah.
I think he died. I'm not totally sure, but I think he died.
Yeah. Wow, Ms. Rollins, I'm gonna let you go, but it's fascinating. I'm very excited to hear about the Rollins family chronicles, because it's such a Sweden is so lacking in strong characters, I find, and so it's very refreshing to hear about.
You make sure that John tell you about him and Monk trying to commit insurance fraud.
Yeah. Okay.
I will definitely do that. Before you go, Mom, the only thing I know about Lisa, Uncle Pap's daughter.
I'm not going to.
Is that she punched you in the face. What happened when Lisa punched you in the face, Mom?
That you have to understand, that was back when I was wild and crazy. So I was not the calm person that I am today. And when she hit me, I blacked out. I didn't pass out. I blacked out.
And beat her down, huh?
And I forgot that we was related. And when I forgot that we was related, I tapped into that behind. And when I tapped out of that behind,
she looked like she got hit by a bus. Yeah, she looked like she got hit by a bus when you finished with.
What? When did this
take place? Yeah, she looked pretty bad. And then Uncle my Pap's cousin, house. That's my first cousin be like on my 14. Mom's side. And she worked at the time driving bus. Which she couldn't drive for a few days. And my cousin on my first cousin on my dad's side is a mail handler. So she went to drop the mail off at Lisa's house, at Lisa's apartment or whatever. And Lisa was out getting her mail and she saw Lisa. And she was like, "Ooh, my God. What happened to you?" She thought Lisa got jumped by a gang of girls or something. So Lisa told her that we got into a fight. But Lisa told her, "You should see what Peaches look like if you think I look bad."
But my mom's nickname is Peaches.
Oh my God, what happened? And then I told her, and then when Vicky saw me, she was like, "Uh-uh." She said, "Cuz, that's ridiculous what you did." But it wasn't on her.
That is
you gotta beat your cousin up sometime. At least you didn't shoot her penis head off.
I didn't mean to do that. I didn't expect it to go like that.
And it was a long time ago.
Yeah, 90s.
It was a long time. We forgot about it.
Mid-90s.
Yeah, we buried the hatchet.
That's good. That's fantastic.
We get along real good now.
Yeah, I bet.
We know where we stand.
All right, Mom.
Listen, Ms. Rollins, it was delightful talking to you. I could talk to you for, I could listen to you for hours, but we really have to go. Could if I ever make it to Florida and you're down there, I need to try that conch salad.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't need me there. All you have to do is go by and see Monk.
Yeah, I don't have to be there.
Tell Monk that John sent you.
Yeah.
I will.
We'll hook you up.
I will definitely do that.
A pineapple conch boat.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, he'll definitely do. Just tell him you came from Sweden and you know John,
mm-hmm.
and he'll hook you up really well.
That would be excellent. I will try that. Very, very nice talking to you, Ms. Rollins.
Nice talking to you too. Just if you go outside to get food from his grandmother,
mm-hmm.
make sure she know that you know John, because she might try to shoot you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
A new face in the neighborhood, so she might try to shoot you. So you know, start out with "I know John."
Yes. So
she'll put a pistol down.
I will carry a big sign that says "I know John Rollins."
There you go.
Yeah.
And you won't get shot.
Right. That's good. That's good advice. Thank you so much.
There you go.
Thank you.
Mom. You're welcome. You guys have a wonderful day. Love you.
Love you too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Oh, <wow. laughs> He's great.
Yeah, this is the best.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
We could talk about this for hours. Oh, no, yeah. Now I'm on English. Vi skulle kunna prata hur länge som helst. Är det någonting vi har missat, tycker du? Nej, vi har missat jättemycket såklart. Yeah, men men vi kanske kan ta det nästa gång.
I was gonna say, we can do that again sometime.
Vi har bara skrapat på ytan på Uncle Riley och Munk.
What we could do is, I could draw this up nicer and you could post it up. And if anybody has questions about any of the people, I can come back later with someone.
Just det, mycket bra. Det gör vi.
Yeah.
Men jag tycker man ser det här. Jag tycker själv att originalet, om du inte verkligen, verkligen vill rita upp det. Men jag tycker det här första originalet är... Det är speciellt med det.
Yeah.
Så, eller vi kanske ska göra det tydligare. Jag vet inte riktigt
That's
hur det här
saying.
Med...
Because yeah. I think if I do it where you can... you know, she had 4 kids. I was trying to break it down.
Ja, precis. För Sarah...
It's my mom.
Ja, precis. Munk är alltså...
My uncle, my mom's brother. It's all the same generation. This is
precis.
Renee.
Precis. Här ser det ut som att det är någon typ av barn här. Typ.
Right, it's men, precis.
Ja, det är, men när vi ritar upp det nice. Det gör vi. Så gör vi. Och om ni har några fler frågor, hör över till John Rollins 3. Right?
Yes.
John Rollins I. On Twitter.
Yeah.
Så kan han svara på alla frågor om the Rollins Chronicles.
Yeah. the family, Rollins is my dad's name.
Mm-hmm.
So the family, this is the Kellys, man. The whole...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, this was Woods. Actually, this branch is the Woods.
Okay.
But when we had the reunion, it's the Kelly family.
Kelly, okay.
So, but, yeah, unfortunately...
Men din mamma heter fortfarande Rollins?
Yeah, she kept the Rollins.
Jag förstår.
But she's a Woods. These are our Woods.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Vi avslutar där. Vi har pratat jättelänge.
Yeah, man. Sorry, man.
Tack så jättemycket.
Yeah, of course.
Det är helt fantastiskt. Vi borde göra om det.
Yeah, I'm down.
Ja, om du har fler stories så vore jätteroligt. Fantastiskt. Och glöm inte att supporta Power Meeting Podcast.
Yes, please,
Jonathan do. Rollins Podcast. Finns på alla ställen där det finns poddar. Och ni har en Patreon nu också, eller hur?
Yeah, we got a Patreon now, yeah.
Så om ni vill höra mer om allt sånt här, bli Patreon på Power Meeting Podcast.
Yeah, the Patreon's got a video of Renee telling the story about when she borrowed a drug dealer's car and got shot up.
Nej.
Yeah, and grandmother talking about how to make perfect grits.
Ah, det där är bra bonusmaterial. Det är riktigt bra bonusmaterial. Sånt där, jag borde också ha sånt där. Nästa gång ska jag prata om när min morbror satt i fängelse i Dubai.
Oh, nice.
Ja, utan rättegång, ingenting. Han bara satt i fängelse.
Damn.
Jättelänge. Fick cancer i fängelset. Blev bra. Släpptes ut i fängelset.
Damn.
Ja, det är en stor.
Wow, I can hear
it. Ja, okej. Okay. Tack ska ni ha. Glad påsk. Yeah. Nej, påsken har redan varit. Glad någonting. Pingst. Whatever. Okej.
Okay.
Tack ska ni ha. Hej då.
Peace.
Oj, oj, oj.
You got something I can write it over on?
Absolutely.
That was fun, man. And it feels like I didn't even scratch the surface.
Nej, jag kan tänka mig det. Jag kan tänka mig att det finns hur mycket som helst.
Yeah, man. That was fun. I'm glad my mom... She's kind of slow talking, but...